right. So day three, we're moving right along. We are in Exodus 12 to 14 and Exodus 20.
Yeah. And so, again, the story just keeps continuing, right? Another signpost here is Moses finally makes his way back to Egypt, and he tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says no. And so God brings plague upon plague, and Pharaoh says, okay, go. No way did I change my mind. And then they get to the last plague. The last plague. And God knows this one. I love the fact that when the last plague comes, and we read about this in 11, but when the last plague comes, God says, hey, tell them to get ready, because this is it. Mm-hmm. Like, God knows that it was going to get to this point. Like, I mean, he exists outside of time. He knew it was coming here. And the last plague is the plague of the firstborn. And that is that every firstborn child in every home was going to die. And this is a significant thing, right? Because not only is it this plague that shows us that God is powerful and it gets people out of Egypt, but it's also a significant thing to tell us, like, there is nobody innocent. Nobody's innocent. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve death. Now, that'll play out as we get to the New Testament. We'll see how the epistles and those authors spell that out for us. But nobody's innocent. So, yes, there are children in some homes that are going to die. Mm-hmm. And it also teaches us that redemption is going to cost blood.
Yep.
Right? Nobody gets out unscathed. Redemption will cost blood. Mm-hmm. But God introduces this idea of a substitution. Mm-hmm. Same thing he did with Isaac way back in day one, right, with Abraham. Mm-hmm. He does this here. He says, look, I am going to allow you a substitution. Mm-hmm. If you trust me, then you can substitute a lamb for each home so that the firstborn won't die. Right. And so that's where we get this idea of Passover, this thing. And then God tells us in chapter, he's like, hey, you're going to celebrate this every year. You're going to celebrate this Passover because you're going to remember what I did for you here. You're going to remember that redemption costs blood and you're going to celebrate that I provided you a substitute.
Yeah. And they're so, practically making a cross.
Yeah. On the door. The, yeah. So that's where they slaughter the lamb and they prepare the lamb in a special way, in unleavened bread, unleavened because God says it doesn't have time to rise, because as soon as this curse is over, you are leaving town. Mm-hmm. That's why there's unleavened bread. So they don't have to wait for it to rise. They can just bake it. And so in case somebody wondered why it was unleavened.
Yeah. And then, leaven is like represents sin.
It does. And it's the yeast that causes it to rise. And yes, it represents the sin. That's Jesus gets there later, that a little bit will just ruin the whole batch. Yep. So they put the blood on the door. The angel of death that comes through Egypt and all of the surrounding areas causes death of the firstborn in every household, even Pharaoh's household. Like, nobody's exempt except the Israelites and some of the Egyptian families that were following Yahweh. So don't forget about that, right? Like, when the Israelites leave, there are Egyptians that leave with them. No matter where they go, the Israelites aren't just Israelites. They always have a contingent of foreigners with them that have seen God work and say, I just want to be close. Mm-hmm. I want to follow that God. And so, but then when they go, God establishes, okay, you're gonna do this this festival and you're going to celebrate the Passover. The Egyptians finally are like, yeah, go, we don't want you here anymore. It turns out your God is serious and he's more powerful than our
gods. Totally changes his mind again.
But the people this time, the people rose up and said, go away. We don't want to contend with your God. In fact, they gave them all of the, I love the part where they give them all of the clothes and jewels and gold and all of this stuff that basically it's almost like, Israel, the Jews, won a battle, and this is their plunder that they're getting to take with, right? Yeah, so they get to take all of these spoils of war, even though they didn't go to war.
Yeah.
God did this for them, and they leave. But then we see, like, there's this thing in chapter 13, the consecration of the firstborn. And I love this idea. I love this idea. God says, look, I didn't kill your firstborn because I allowed you a substitution. But now your firstborns belong to me, right? Because I own them. And it's a picture too of just mm-hmm. what it means to be set apart for God, to be holy yeah. and set apart. And so it's just this story of how this works out.
Something from the Exodus study I did is that we all have firstborns. We all have something yeah. that we place our hope and our future in.
That we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And you're right. Pharaoh changes his mind, chapter 14. Yep. He's chasing him down again. He's chasing him down again. Moses and all of the people leave, and Pharaoh's like, no, come back. I'm going to get you. Yeah. And basically, he's not railing against Moses. He's railing against God.
Yeah.
How dare you? And so the people start to grumble. It's like they just saw what God did, and already mm-hmm. their hearts are fickle. They start to say, oh, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? You brought us all out here to die. And God's like, just sit down.
Stop it.
And be quiet. Parts the Red Sea. They walk through. Pharaoh's army is decimated, and they have officially left. That's what Exodus means. They exited Egypt. And then in chapter 20, you know, real quick, they go to the mountain. God says, consecrate yourselves, be holy, because holiness matters, right? Remember the whole thing with the Moses and the circumcision, right? Like, this matters. Holiness matters. So consecrate yourself. Don't get too close to the mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call Moses up. And when Moses is up there, God gives him what we know as the Ten Commandments. This is God taking a group of people and saying, I am making you a nation, and a nation that's a theocracy, mm-hmm. that God is the one in charge of your nation. And if you follow God and follow the people God puts in place, things will go well with you. And it starts with the Ten Commandments. You know, and we see the Ten Commandments tell us, how do we relate to God, and how do we relate to each other?
Yep.
So it's awesome.